Sister Karen for getting the words right today. You can't get me wild up here, so I'm good. I want to praise God for, again, the membership for coming together and helping out with a live on the food distribution. We gave away some food this Friday, right? Here at OEC. Was anybody here? I know the deacons were here and they helped give out the food. And yes, Sister Deborah was here. And I've got a bone to pick with you because I was here and y'all saw my car out there on Friday and y'all didn't come up and knock on my door and say, Pastor, come and join us. And I came downstairs, y'all were gone. So send me out to service. But thank you all for doing that. I know the people were encouraged. As a matter of fact, I have two cards that people are asking for prayer who stopped by and picked up the food. So we're going to be putting that in so we can pray. I'll give the prayer warriors that pray for them. One name is Sylvia Agueta, and she is asking for prayer. And then there was a Jessica, and the last one I really can't pronounce, Gullion, and she's also asking for prayer. And so we want to pray for them. And didn't say specifically what they want prayer for, but we're going to be doing that for them. But it's a way of us reaching out to the community while we're still yet going through this COVID pandemic and not able to come out and to serve the way that we would normally do. And I'm missing some cards here. And they have my scriptures on them, so I have to find them. There they are. All right. And today's message is really kind of just an encouragement to some and a reminder to others. And my whole purpose today is to get us to understand that we can't forget what our mission is. Amen. We can't forget what our mission is. And I read earlier, it says we're striving for peace with everyone, for holiness, for without it, no one will see the Lord. But that's not the scripture I'm going to go into today. I want you to think about that because our goal in life and our mission in life is really to strive for what? For holiness. Without holiness, no man will see the Lord. But in that holiness, what we actually do is we begin to serve the Lord throughout the gifts he's given us in our salvation. Amen. But we also work out our own soul salvation while we're yet serving those that God's placed in our path. And I want us to remember that even in the midst of what we're going through in the COVID pandemic, that we don't use that as an excuse, amen, not to serve with our whole heart, amen. Amen. Brother Harper, I didn't see you in here. Amen, you here, amen. We are praying for you. But we need to understand, and I want to read this, you know, this is our communion Sunday. And as I was reading and preparing for communion, something struck me. And I want to read it to you, and I want to see if it strikes you the same way. Brother Eric, you're going to communion for us, right?
Yep.
Amen. I'm not trying to steal your thunder. But in 1 Corinthians 11, and this is not scripture I'm going to read, but I want to read this. And I want you to remember we said in Bible study, if the Lord repeats certain things within the scripture, he puts emphasis on them, they become very important. You need to understand that. So, again, this is a lesson to challenge us today. And this is what we've been reading this, forever when we do communion. This 1 Corinthians 11, and starting in verse 17. But we never emphasize what God has emphasized on this scripture. I want to listen carefully as I read, and you'll be able to pick it up because I'm going to put emphasis on the words when I get there. Look what it says. It says, but if the following instructions, I do not commend you, Listen to what he says here. He says, because when you come together, you got to underline, when you come together, it is not for the better, but for the worse. Look at verse 18. But in the first place, this is what it says again. When you come together as a church, I hear that there are divisions among you, and I believe it in part. For there must be factions among you in order that those who are genuine among you may be recognized. You get to stand out when you're actually what? You're striving for holiness and you're genuine. People can see that. Amen. But look at verse 20. When you come together, that's three times. It is not the Lord's Supper that you eat, for in eating, each one goes ahead with his own meal. One goes hungry, another gets drunk. What, do you not have houses to eat or drink in? Or do you despise the church of God and humiliate those who have nothing? What shall I say to you? Shall I commend you in this? No, I will not. For I receive from the Lord, this is what we know, what I also deliver to you, that the Lord Jesus, on the night when he was betrayed, took bread, and when he had taken and given thanks, he broke it and says, this is my body, which is for you. Do this in remembrance of me. In the same way, also, he took the cup after supper, saying, this cup is the new covenant in my blood. Do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of me. For as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes. Whoever therefore eats the bread or drinks the cup of the Lord in an unworthy manner will be guilty concerning the body and blood of the Lord. 28. Let each person examine himself. I'm going to deal with that later on, even though I'm not going to deal with this text. But let each person examine himself. Then, and so, eat the bread and drink of the cup. For anyone who eats and drinks without discerning the body eats and drinks judgment on himself. That is why many of you are weak and ill, and some of you die. But if we judge ourselves, going back to the examine ourselves, and we judge ourselves, truly, we would not be judged. But when we are judged by the Lord, who knows exactly what we do, he knows why we do it, we are disciplined. God allows things to come in our lives so that we might straighten up and realize that we're not doing things right, so that we may not be condemned along with the world. Amen. He does that well. So he disciplines his children to get them to understand. He's going to act differently. Amen. Look at 33. So then, my brothers and sisters, when you come together, he says it again, right? That's four times. To eat, wait for one another. If anyone is hungry, let him eat at home. Last time. So that when you come together, it will not be for judgment. About the other things, I will give directions when I come. Do you notice that? Five times he mentions when we come together. God gave us a body for a reason. Not to separate from it, but to come together. And we have to realize that sometimes very subtly, we tend to forget that. And you need to be reminded, even in the midst of the pandemic, that if we begin to live another life apart from the body of Christ, we tend not to do what God is actually calling us to do. Amen. And I know that we are doing some marvelous things. We have Bible studies. I mean, brothers are teaching, brothers are preaching, elder preached on Wednesday, and we're doing all of these things, but we're doing them what we call virtually, and we're doing them to help those who can't make it here, and that's good. But for those who actually can't make it here, I think this message might be for you. Remember, if you have pre-existing conditions, if you're a senior, you know all things, we understand that. But I believe we've gone further than that. I believe we've gotten to the point now where we're getting complacent, we're getting comfortable where we are, and we think that this is actually a new reality. And I want you to understand that the Bible says we ought to come together. This is not a new norm. We need to understand that. Because see, no matter how biblically accurate our beliefs are, head knowledge alone cannot make us whole.
That's right.
Amen? Amen. It can't. We can teach all the Bible lessons we want to, and we can get all this stuff up in our head, but that doesn't make us holy. Because our hearts, listen to this, our hearts still hold to the pattern of the flesh. Amen. Listen to what Jeremiah says in Jeremiah 17, 9 and 10. He says, the heart is deceitful. See, we can actually begin to believe that what we're doing is what God called us to do when it's not what he called all of us to do. And our hearts can deceive us because we're still getting fed the word of God. But our hearts are deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Amen. Who can understand it? But the Lord says, I am the Lord and I search the heart and I test the mind to give every man according to his ways, according to the fruit of his deeds. And God is saying that, guess what? I know you can do better. Some of you can't, but I know some of you can. But you're not making the effort. Because this has become our norm. Our flesh. We like to gravitate towards the flesh. It is so easy not to get up on Sunday morning and to come to church. Come on now, tell the truth and shame the devil. Some of us have gotten to the point now, we are Sunday morning. Okay, Sunday, let's turn my TV on. Let's get ready. And we're just as comfortable. And we think that's the norm. James 1, 13 and 15 says this. Let no one say when he is tempted that I am being tempted by God. For God cannot be tempted with evil, and he himself tempts no one. But each person is tempted when he is lured and enticed by his own desire. Beloved, it was hard for some of y'all to come to church when we didn't have the pandemic. Come on now. Y'all know I'm telling the truth. It was hard. And now I got a reason.
Yep.
He said, that's our own desire. And look at what happens if we give in to that desire. Then desire, when it is, has conceived, gives birth to sin. And sin, when it is fully grown, gives forth to death. And we begin to live a life apart from Christ. And we know it's true. Can I give you one more scripture? I'm going to take my time to walk through these texts today because I had a lot of fun. My daughter and wife said, you got a lot of energy today. You don't understand what I had. I had a good time with the Lord yesterday. Look at Romans 7. I want you to turn there. Romans 7:14. I'm going to start reading there. I'm going to take my time and go all the way down to verse 25. And this ain't the text I'm going in either. I'm going to get to my text in a few minutes. I just feel like preaching today. Help me somebody. Because I'm the one who got complacent. And I need you to wake me up. Romans 7:14 says this. For we know that the law is spiritual, but I am of the flesh, sold under sin. For I do not understand my own actions. For I do not do what I want, but I do the very thing I hate. Now, if I do what I do not want, I agree with the law that it is good. So now it is no longer I who do it, but sin that dwells within me. For I know that nothing good dwells in me. I highlight that in two colors in my Bible. That is in my flesh, for I have the desire to do what is right, but not the ability to carry it out. For I do not do the good I want, but the evil I do not want is what I keep on doing. Now, if I do what I do not want, it is no longer I who do it, but the sin that dwells within me. And beloved, I believe that sin is taking control of our lives because we're not coming together. And we're getting confused with what we're really supposed to be doing. And so I find it to be a law that when I want to do right, evil lies close at hand. For I delight in the law of God in my inner being, but I see in my members another law waging war against the law of my mind and making me captive to the law of sin that dwells in my members. Oh, wretched man or woman that I am, who will deliver me from this body of death? Thanks be to God through Jesus Christ our Lord. So then I myself serve the law of God with my mind, but with my flesh I serve the law of sin. Do you get that? If we grab a hold of an excuse or a reason, we find ourselves, what? Going in a direction that's contrary to what we believe God wants us to go in. But if I do it so often, I get to believe it's all right. I think it's okay. And especially if I got folks co-signing with me, because they're not coming either. And they can. Not the one with the pre-existing conditions, not the seniors, not those who know they shouldn't, not the ones who God is not calling, but God is calling some to come, but they get to the point where they say, well, I don't have to. Because it's rough out there. That pandemic is killing folks. The president even got it down. Everybody ought to have masks on. We ought to just shut everything down. See, here's the problem. We depend on God for everything in our life. Mm-hmm. And he deserves our worship. Mm-hmm. And even though we know that we're utterly dependent on God for everything in our life, guess what? There are times in our life that we want to manage our lives independent from God. But when we were coming together, we had a buffer. Because on Sunday morning, when we got together, we encouraged one another, and we held each other accountable. But now that we are apart, I have to actually rely on myself. I have to examine, you know what I'm saying, girl? I have to examine myself. I have to be the judge of myself. And to be honest with you, I'm not that hard on myself. Amen? I'm just letting you know, me. This is for me. And beloved, this is not a plea, because I won't do that. I told you, I believe you'll come back when the Lord is calling you back. So it's not a plea to get you to feel guilty about not being here, but it is a plea for you to be careful about the life that you might be given to live apart from the body of Christ. Just to be careful. Because some of us don't do well by ourselves. I need you to keep me in check. Amen? Folks asked me, said, well, Pastor, ain't nobody coming to church. Why are you still coming to church building every day? Because somebody might walk by. That's why that car's parked out there every day. Amen? In the red truck today. Amen? But it's not only that. It's that I need to be here. I know it's just a building. But there's something about the presence of the Lord and getting away upstairs in my study with those books, opening them up and reading that Bible that keeps me focused. No matter what's going on in this world, my quest is still for holiness. My quest is still for holiness. And that's my prayer for you, that your quest is still for holiness. But see, if we stay away too long, if we're not being what put in check, if we're not having people hold us accountable, curling us, sometimes we tend to go sidetracked. We tend to go this way or that way. We vacillate in our lives. And all of a sudden, Netflix, Hulu, Peacock, and Prime become our reality. Amen? And I know it is. You know why? Because their stocks are going through the roof. And I know it ain't all unsaved folk that is subscribing to these people. Come on now. It's some church folk now that have renewed their subscription. Not only do they have Netflix, Hulu, Peacock, Prime, they got Disney and everything else. TikTok. I mean, we can name them. When I said those names, they were what? They registered with everybody in here and probably everybody out there. Amen. And they're relevant because we use them every day. But if I changed Netflix to Nahum, if I changed Hulu to Habakkuk, if I changed Peacock to Proverbs, if I changed Prime to Psalms, see, they still rest. I've got some amens up in the house, amen. You understand where those are, right? But I bet you we're not as what? As they're not as relevant to us as those other four. We probably know more about Netflix than we know about Nahum. Can I get an amen? Come on now. Don't get quiet on me now. I'm trying to come up in your house because I was at my house over the weekend. When I say Hulu, somebody say, who? When I say Habakkuk, they say, huh? I'm just being, see what happens is when these things register with us, they become our reality. We understand one thing about our reality becomes what is relevant to us, and that which is important to us because it is close to us, it's connected to us, and it is appropriate for our current time and period and circumstances and interest, and all of a sudden we forget our quest for holiness. And without holiness, no man or no woman will see the Lord. Now, I'm not telling you to go and cancel all your subscriptions because you'll hurt my stock portfolio. I'm begging you to keep watching them. But what I'm telling you is that you can't allow that to become what's relevant in your life more than this word of God. Now, how did I get here? Well, if you got time, I got a little story for you. The other night, I got home, and I did my usual, fried up a little bit of bacon. Oscar and Maya were with me. Made myself a little sandwich, and I went in the living room, and know what I did? I popped that Trojan horse on. It's a Trojan horse. I don't know what I'm talking about. It lets all these things in that try to infiltrate my mind. And I sat there and I turned it on and I was watching a situational comedy. You don't even know which one it was. All I watched is two comedies. It was a situational comedy. And it was coming on and my son came upstairs and he was walking through the living room. He says, "Hey, Dad, you finished the series." I'm saying, "What? I finished the series." He said, "Yeah, that's the last episode of the series of the situational comedy that you're watching." I said, Okay, that's cool. And I began to self-examine myself. And I began to judge what I was doing. And the reason why is because I said that was the last episode. That means I don't want to do every last one of those episodes on that. Somebody know what I'm tracking with me. Somebody know what I'm talking about. And I went back and did the research on Google. And Google said this situational comedy I've been watching was on for 9 seasons. It had 180 episodes. You do the math. And I sat there and watched every one of them. From the beginning to the very end. And it made me say, just like you said, I said, wow. But that's not the worst of it. I had watched another situational comedy prior to that one and went through the whole series too. And they have 264 episodes. Do the math. And it's all during COVID. That's a lot of television, brothers and sisters. Again, I'm not harping on the television. Okay? I just want to make sure that what we're doing is still striving for holiness. And I, through the Spirit of God, had to take inventory. He said, how much time are you actually spending in front of this thing when you should be doing what I called you to do? Now, let me tell you a little secret. I still read the Bible a lot. Amen. I get my Bible in. So that wasn't the problem. The problem is, God said, but is this what I want you to do with the time that you have left? Do you want to be called before me one day? Look at that scripture. And I start talking about what you did. And how much do you think you're going to get out of watching 444 episodes of a situational comedy, which was each 30 minutes apiece, when you could have been out there helping somebody through COVID or whatever else you could have been doing that would have been bringing glory? How much glory do you think I have to work out by watching all those episodes? See, that's the real issue, isn't it? And then the Bible tells us that no matter what you eat or whatever you drink, make sure that you do all things to the glory of God. Amen. Now, I'm not harping on that. I'm just saying that I had to sit back and take an inventory, and I had to ask myself the question, why? Am I still striving for holiness? Why? Because this question matters in my life. And without you, holding me accountable by coming and making sure that I'm doing what I'm supposed to be doing, guess what? I'm left to my own devices. And if I'm doing it, I know you're doing it too. And I know you're doing it. I know you're doing it. And what we have left in, we're dealing with our integrity. Amen? It's our integrity. It's our integrity. See, what is integrity? Integrity is the soundness of our, and we adhere to moral principles and characters and uprightness and honesty. And for us as believers in Christ, our integrity has to deal with this, is that how we live and think according to the standards of truth, which is God's character as revealed through his word. And if I'm not into his word, how do I know what I'm really supposed to be doing? If there's nobody holding me accountable, do you actually think I'm going to do what I'm supposed to be doing? I just read you Romans 7. The things that I know I should be doing, I find myself not doing. And that's Paul and his salvific statement. Amen? How much more do you think? I read in Jeremiah, the heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Who can understand it? What? I don't know why I do what I do. I do know what I do. I do. It's called sin. And guess what? It has its pleasures. And it's alluring. We have to understand that our lives now, with our integrity, it involves loving God in our hearts by affirming his standards in our mind. Amen? It's loving God with our hearts by confirming his standards in our minds. And if I'm constantly putting situational comedies in my mind, what do you think I'm talking about? See, when I put those things in my mind, they're what? They're acted out through the life that I live in this body. And I begin to become a situational comedy. Notice Sister Carl. Sister Carl says, I can't take Pastor seriously when he's not in the pulpit. He's always making jokes. That's true. I need to understand that our quest for holiness cannot be put on hold because of COVID. And what I'm really asking you to do is that we have to make a commitment to self-scrutiny. Amen. I'm not asking you to look into my life. I'm not looking into your life. But there's a self-scrutiny. Examine ourselves. A self-scrutiny going on here is that when my son has said, hey, look, you've been there. Something inside of me says, I sat here and watched all of these things. And see, but until he said that, I was okay. It was somebody else saying something that rested in my mind in the sense that I didn't even pay attention. It was so subtle, I never even paid attention to it. And when someone brought to my attention, I said, oh. And that's what we do every day when we come to church on Sunday. We kind of hold each other accountable, don't we? When I see Sister KC in CK in Safeway, amen. When I see CK in Safeway, something happens to me. Y'all don't get that. We're not in the building. But we're in Safeway. And when I see her, it automatically stirs up something inside of me that registers that guess what? I need to make sure I'm straight. Amen? There's something about us coming around with each other, and all of a sudden, when somebody is hurting, there's something that happens to me when I'm there that I don't get when I'm not there. Amen. And what I sum it up to is that I put this thing down. It's something about my empathy wanes with my proximity. Right? My empathy wanes with my proximity. If I'm not there, it's not the same. It doesn't affect me the same way. My brother and my brother Minister Hudson and Lamont have COVID. Pray for them. Amen. And it's different because see, my empathy is affected by my proximity because see, if I was there, I would be with them and be able to pray with them, and we would encourage each other. But because of the distance. We can call each other on the phone. I can do Facebook. I can do Zoom. I can do all those things, but it's not the same as being there. It's not the same. God put us together for a reason. And that was when these times got hard, we were there, be there for each other. So when am I getting to the text right now? So what I want us to understand is that in this whole practice, in this whole process, it's called sanctification, set apart, being different, being mindful, but also being careful that we don't just conform to the world's standards because we can. So go to Romans 12. Because what is happening, I don't think we're conforming to the standards of the world. And in that process, we're losing something that God gave us that we get when we are together in the body of Christ. And I observed four things, and I'm not going to take you as long as y'all think it is. I know it's already 11:30. But these four things, I'm going to give them to you right now because as I go, I'm going to go pretty fast and you might miss them. But the four things I got out of this text is that in this text right here, I found that there's going to be a surrendering. Amen? There ought to be a surrendering, a releasing to God. And guess what, Lord? I am your living sacrifice. The second thing I see is that there's a struggle. Amen? In this conformity thing. But then there's a solution in the renewing. And then there's a standard that we ought to go by And if we keep these four things in the front of our mind, I believe that we will live better, even in the midst of being separated, that in our integrity, we will continue to do what God has called us to do. Romans 12, 1 and 2 is all I'm reading. Where it says, I appeal to you, therefore, brothers and sisters, by the mercies of God, to present your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service or your spiritual worship. Amen. It's your reasonable thing you should do. Do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewal of your mind, that by testing you may discern what is the will of God, what is good and acceptable and perfect. And in that text, I saw that we need to go back to this basic text and read it and pray about it and to make sure that we are still in this quest for holiness. And that all those other things that we have allowed to infiltrate our lives are not taking over our lives, and that God is still first in our lives. The first thing I said is that we need to understand that there's a surrendering there. He said, the Paul said, I'm begging you, I appeal to you, therefore, and that's because of all they talk about in the first 11 chapters, which I do not have time to go through, but basically he's giving them the doctrine. He says that you ought to present your bodies. Surrender. Amen. Separate from the world. There ought to be something there that you become a living sacrifice. There's the word I'm saying, what? Holy. Amen. That's what we're striving for. We're striving for holiness, holy and acceptable to God. And my question to myself was, I was confronted by the fact that I watched a whole series of situational comedy. Was that acceptable to God? Not that I was not doing anything that's bad. My question was, is what I'm doing now acceptable to God? It doesn't make a difference what I think. It's what God thinks. And when I have the heart of God, I have the mind of Christ, I looked at it differently. It was no longer just a situational comedy. It was something that was taking me away from the word of God. Living sacrifice, holy and acceptable. The things that I'm doing in my life, are they acceptable to God? Surrendering. And what he's saying is, when they said the mercy of God, what he said is, if you read all those other 11 chapters, you see what God has actually done for us. Amen. That's what you see. I can't give it just because I'm going in chapter 12. I need to do 1 through 11 first, then get to 12, and you get the emphasis of it, that all that God has done for us, why would we not give him all that we are? That's what he's saying. He said, I beseech you by the mercy that you see every day they are new in your life, that you're not consumed by the sin that we live in. And that while we were still yet in our sin, Christ died for us. All that's in the first 11 chapters. He says, when you get that in your heart, when you get that in your mind, why wouldn't you do whatever you can to please God, to be acceptable to God, to live for God, to be that living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to him? That's what he's saying. And here's the thing that I got. He doesn't want me to do it out of duty, but out of devotion. Amen? So I can't convince you to do this now out of duty. Well, I got to do this now. I got to do this because God didn't. See, that's duty. No, it's got to be like Urban Levine saying, true devotion. Bless the children. Amen? It's got to be out of devotion that you actually love God. Yes, he did it, but I'm doing it because I love him. Amen? Because see, it's a binding together. And I tell folks today, because see folk in the good old days, remember back in the good old days when a young man would get a young lady pregnant and they weren't married? And the first thing old folks would say is what? Y'all got to get married. Y'all got to get married out of duty. Let me tell y'all, it don't work. The marriage don't last. Because not out of devotion for each other, it's out of duty. And you can't survive out of duty. It's got to be love. From a pure heart. Amen. You got to love the Lord. In order for you to scrutinize yourself, you got to love God. Because you love yourself. And you ain't going to be too hard on yourself. Amen. But if you love God more than you love yourself, you'll scrutinize yourself and say, Lord, I'm sorry. And I surrender all. You know that song we used to sing? Well, we don't even sing that song no more. I surrender all. All to thee, my blessed Savior, I surrender all. We can't sing that song no more. Because the truth is, we haven't surrendered all. Amen? And we got to. We ought to surrender everything over to the Lord. Because he's worthy of all that we have. Paul goes on to say, that's your reasonable. He said, that's the least you should do. Amen. That's the least. He said, the least you should do. It's reasonable. Because of all that God does, because of all who he is. Now I can stay right there forever. I really could. Preachers always say they got no more material. But I got to hurry up. I hate the other. I got to do communion. But surrendering, we got to become to a point where we're surrendering it all over to the Lord. Why? Because he's given us everything. He's done everything for us. He's given us our salvation. We didn't earn this salvation. God gave it to us. Amen. But beloved, I'm not a fool. It's a struggle. Amen. It's a struggle. Look at verse 2. Do not be conformed to this world. Paul understood there was a struggle there. He had to tell you not to do it. Why? Because you're going to struggle trying not to do it. It's a struggle there. Why is it a struggle? Because we still live in the flesh. So never fool yourself. 2 Corinthians 10, 3 and 5 says this, for though we walk in the flesh, we're not waging war according to the flesh. For the weapons of our warfare are not of the flesh, but have divine power to destroy strongholds. We destroy arguments and every lofty opinion raised against the knowledge of God. And we take every thought captive to obey Christ. It's a mind game. You understand that? It's what we put into our minds on a daily basis that what? Alters our behavior. And if I'm watching all those 700 some channels, all that's up my mind, and I'm not into the Word of God, it's going to alter the way you live your life. And all of a sudden, being with Sister Gloria is not as important as it used to be. Amen? It's just not. Getting with the Joseph's family, going down there and getting some plantain. Come on now. Eating some brownies, fellowshipping. And so, Pastor, you can't do that no more. Yes, you can. Just keep your distance. Just because of COVID don't mean I can't see him at all. There are things you put in place. Wear my mask. Keep my distance. And I can still see them. And all of a sudden, guess what? My empathy, it increases. Why? Because my proximity has increased. And I can struggle with them. I can't struggle with you on TV because guess what? You're just another situational comedy. Like when that comedy went off on Netflix, I turned it off. When this is off, we turn it off. Life goes on. It becomes a part of what we become a part of and what we're conforming to the world. We're just watching TV. It's a reality show. Right? And we're struggling. We're conforming to the world because of our flesh. Ephesians 6:12 says this, for our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the powers of the dark world, against the spiritual forces of evil and the heavenly realm. Do you think that the enemy is not glad that you just subscribe to Netflix and Hulu and Disney and all? Do you think the enemy is not just having a great time because he knows we're going to spend more time doing that than we are doing this? The battle is being waged up here. It's in our minds. And it's a struggle every day to do it God's way. Yes, it is. That's right. People say, oh, no, it's just a joy. No, no, no. Living holy is hard. I don't care what nobody says. It's hard. Unless you Jesus. Come on now. That's right. I'm telling you. I'm looking right in the face. Yeah, it's hard. It's hard work. Hard work. Striving for holiness. I would just love to sit back and just binge and just do whatever I want to do. I ain't got to worry about nobody. I'm just taking care of me. Oh man, life would be what wonderful. Come on, y'all know I'm telling the truth. But no, when you start talking about the body of Christ, and you start trying to figure out, okay, well, what would Brother Skeeter do? He can't come to church, you know? He's the one who can't come. Guess what? It's funny because we talk every week. You know what y'all say? Pastor, come and get me? I said, nah, Brother Skeeter, I can't come and get you this week. And I said, we still got to keep you at home. I said, oh, man. He said, you going to do the best you can? That's what he always said. He said, Pastor, you'll preach best again, aren't you? I said, yeah, man, I'll preach best again. Man, I'll do best again. Brother, can't wait till the stuff looks like come back to church. And some of us can come, but won't come. I don't get that. He's struggling on a different line because he can't come. And man, you got the opportunity. You can't come and you don't come. I don't get that. I don't think I'm striving for holiness if I'm trying to find a reason not to give up the body of Christ. I don't find that in the Bible anywhere. But it's a struggle trying to be holy. But the Bible tells us, don't conform to this world. And when he's talking about this world, he's referring to the spirit of this age, the popular world views that rejects God. What are you talking about? He's talking about the things that we used to do, that's why it's so easy for us to go back and do them now. Yeah, Ephesians 2:1-2 says that, and you were dead in your trespass and sin, in which you used to walk, following what? The course of this world. That should be a thing of the past. He said, we used to do when we were saved. But he said, but now that we're saved, we shouldn't do those things anymore. We should be looking for ways to what? To become holy. Because God is holy. And he's supposed to be holy. So, Pastor, what's the solution? You know, we're talking about, okay, we understand we ought to surrender. Okay, we understand there's a struggle. And like, but what's the solution? Well, it's right there in the text. The solution is to what? Be transformed. Amen. By the renewal of your mind. R.C. Sproul, he lost the whole ministry on that text. Whole ministry that's still, he's gone with the Lord. His ministry is still changing lives today. Why? Because he understands that this is where the battle is. It's in the mind. We become what we think. And so the solution is that we're going to be transformed. Colossians 3:1-2 says that if then you have been raised with Christ, I know you have, praise God, amen, then seek the things that are above, where Christ is seated at the right hand of God. Set your minds on the things that are above, not on the things of this earth. That's how we get transformed. We have heavenly thoughts. We're trying to figure out how can we please God, that what we're doing in our life is acceptable to him. Romans 8:5 says, for those who live according to the flesh, set their minds on the things of the flesh. But those who live according to the spirit, set their minds on the things of the spirit. One question prompted me to do this sermon today, and it was the fact that it says you finished the whole series. My question to you today is, did you finish the series so that you can get back on track? Whether you finish or not, you don't have to wait till the last episode. You can stop it right now and continue your quest for holiness. Again, please understand, this is not trying to get folks to feel guilty about not being here. It's telling you to be careful about not being here. Because we tend to move in a different direction when we don't have people holding us accountable to live a life that's pleasing to God. And so here's the last thing I want you to understand is that the fact that we ought to be surrendering, there's a struggle in doing it. The solution is what? Staying in the Word of God. I could really expound on a whole lot more. I got a lot of notes here for that, but I know that you guys can communicate. The last part is the standard. So how do I know, pastors, if I'm going in the right direction? It's right there at the end. It says what? After you renew your mind, that by testing, got it? You may discern, got it? You want to discern what is the will of God? People always say, pastor, I don't know what the will of God is in my life. I says, are you doing the things that God has called you to do? Well, I don't know. Are you reading the Word of God? Yeah, then listen to what? If you're doing what the Word of God tells you to do, you guess what? You are actually in the will of God. It's not secret. He's not hiding something from you. He said you ought to be living your life and then at a point now where you understand who God is. You have the character of God. Now you're living in the conduct of God, that you know exactly what God would do and you're not doing it. That's the will of God. It's not a secret. And so I had to ask myself, do I think that watching that comedy for all those episodes in the will of God for my life? I'm not saying that, guess what, you got to do the same thing. I'm saying I had to ask myself, I had to examine myself, if this is what God wants me to do, is this God's will for my life? Or that because I'm getting up in age, should I be doing something else to bring glory to his name in my quest for holiness? And this is how I can find out. The last part of the text helps you to know whether you're in the will of God or not. Look, it says that when you're in the will of God, you will do what is good. It's right there. You don't need to know Greek or Hebrew. It's right there. It says, is what you're doing good? It's acceptable to God. If it's good, guess what? You are right where God wants you to be. Amen. It says, what is good? Is it acceptable to God? Is it perfect? Does it line up with what God's word says? John 17:17 says that sanctify them in the truth. God, your word is truth. We have to be transformed by the renewing of our minds. We have to be able to discern, finding out what the word is, and we ought to test what we're actually doing, so that we can make sure we're actually doing what God called us to do, beloved. I want us to continue our quest for holiness, and I cannot do that unless every now and then I preach sermons like this. So it will help you to challenge yourself to make sure that you are still doing what God has called you to do. This has nothing to do with your salvation. Gotta say it. Our salvation is what? In Christ alone and faith alone. Amen? But it does have a lot to do with what you are going to receive when you see Christ face to face. Amen? Last text. I had a ball of scripture yesterday. That's why y'all get it today. 1 Corinthians 3:10 says this. According to the grace God has given to me, like a skilled master builder, I laid a foundation and someone else is building upon it. Let each one take care how he builds upon it. For no one can lay a foundation other than the one which was laid, which is in Christ Jesus. That's our salvation. Amen? Now, if anyone builds on the foundation with gold, silver, precious stone, wood, hay, and straw, each one's work will become manifest on the day that Christ comes back. And will he disclose it?
Because it will be revealed by fire, and the fire will test what sort of work which one has done. If the work that anyone was built on the foundation survives, it will receive a reward. That's what I'm going about. See, I'm working towards my rewards now. If anyone works is burned up, like those episodes, I'm just letting y'all know right now, I think they're going to be burned up. All that time burned up. Amen? I'm going to suffer loss because of that. And I'm trying to help you. Though he himself, me, I'm saved, yet through fire. It ain't my salvation a question. It's my sanctification. It's what I'm not doing that I should be doing. And I know God knows I can do it. Beloved, I got all of that out of a question. So my question to you is that what are you going to do with the time that you have left? COVID or post-COVID? God wants to know. He's monitoring every day what we do in our lives. As a matter of fact, we only live, move, and have our beings because of him. He knows it all. And I just want you to understand that God wants us to do better. Because souls are still being lost. People are still dying every day. And they're not getting the gospel because we're not fulfilling the Great Commission. Wow, Father.